from Rangeley to Eastport, Fort Kent to Kittery, the Maine outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife and the woods are just outside your doorway, so get outside and find it in the Maine outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the Maine outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the Maine outdoors.
Welcome to the Maine outdoors. Here's tonight's host, V. Paul Reynolds.
Thank you, sir, and good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Maine Outdoors, Maine's longest-running, most enduring outdoor talk radio program. And we invite you to join us tonight, as we do every Sunday night. I'd like you to take part in our program, and if you'd like to be on the show, we have a toll-free statewide number, which is what, Bob Lehman?
1-800-966-1039, and you have to dial a whole number, even if you're local, like Bangor, for instance. Somebody Bangor wants to call, they got to dial 1-800.
That's right.
966-1039.
All right, and don't forget, if you do call us, Norm Plord, our esteemed engineer, asks that you turn your radio down, otherwise you'll get a very distracting echo, which is caused by our 7-second delay system, which we installed years ago to protect against any profane statements, right?
Correct.
Any other reason for that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I mean, I DJed in college years ago, and
Anyway,
it was for that reason.
Turn your radio down if you're going to call us, and we welcome you to do so. Hey, we have a good show lined up tonight. May not be quite as exciting as we thought it was going to be.
I think it might be.
You do? Oh, okay.
Well, that's a lot of info.
All right. Anyway, we were scheduled, the schedule tonight called for us to talk to Mr. Bob Mallard, who's a trout activist, a very, very well-known trout activist who's written a wonderful new book called Square Tail. And I last talked to Bob a week ago by email, and we were all programmed to have him be here. Now, I don't know if he got lost, caught in traffic, or forgot about us, or what happened. But anyway, we will have him on later in the year, if not tonight. He may show up the last minute. We're waiting for him. The door is open. Jim Layton's out there waiting to greet him. So if he doesn't make it, though, we always, being professional broadcasters, we always have a backup plan, don't
yes,
we, Bob?
Yes, we certainly do.
What is it?
Uh-huh. Stay tuned.
What is it? Yeah, that's right. The question. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. We're all going to find out what the show is about before it's finished. But what happens when the guest doesn't show, which is a rarity? In more than 20 years I've been doing this, has only happened once or twice. When that happens, though, we depend on you, the listener, to make it interesting for Bob and Norm and Jim and I. And so we invite you to get ready to call in. We'll have some provocative questions to put to you.
They might have some questions about your past somewhere.
They might.
And that's what the show's going to be about. And you've been on the air now, Paul, for more than, 50, 60 years.
What?
You've been on the air way back, because I listened to way back. Yeah, I'd say it was in the 60s or 70s, where I used to travel to Rooster County and tune you in, and you had a show with somebody. Who was that?
Well, it was the Paul and Leo show. But let's put that aside, Bob, and try to – let's see how it goes. We'll play it by ear. If you insist on interviewing this old guy, we might allow that to happen. But let's let the outdoor thing drive the train here and see how it goes. Right now, though, before we get to the Outdoor Digest, I want to introduce the crew, as I do every week. The man behind the controls in Studio A, Mr. Norm Plord, the sage of Grand Lake Stream.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome aboard.
And Jim is not with you in the studio there.
Jim's
tonight
at the door, hoping that the guest will show.
He's waiting for Bob Mallard to come by and knock on the door.
That's correct.
All right. Jim Layton, our esteemed chief engineer emeritus, is out by the door waiting for our guest who has not shown yet. And we'll introduce him a little later in the show. Also, my co-host, who's a Maine guide, a master Maine guide, no less, written a number of outstanding books about fishing. And in fact, we were kind of hoping that you and we call you Mr. Trout. And I think Bob Mallard is also known in some circles as Mr. Trout.
Mr. Squaretail.
Mr. Squaretail. So we were going to let you guys go at it, but maybe not. We'll see how it goes.
I'll be disappointed a little bit.
All right. Let's see. Outdoor Digest time, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal, Maine Outdoor Publications. I've reminded you, and I want to remind you again, that we've launched a brand new top shelf website. And it's really an exciting website, and I can convey that to you. I hope you'll check it out. The address for our new website is www.sportingjournal.com. That's all one word. And we welcome you to check it out. If you're a Me and Joe fan, if you like the Me and Joe articles that we've been running for so many years, all kinds of those available at no charge on our website. You can read Me and Joe to your heart's content. And we also have on that website a real good archival collection of some really great hunting and fishing stories that have been in the journal over the past 25 years. So it's just a whole potpourri of really good outdoor reading, hunting, fishing, outdoors, camping, hiking, whatever you like about the outdoors. You'll find some stories there on our new website. We invite you to visit it at sportingjournal.com. And let's see, what else here? Okay, Maine deer season is in full swing, as you know, and those of us who partake of the deer hunt have had mixed results. So far, yours truly has not scored, but I had a kind of an exciting Saturday of hunting with my son Josh down in Wayne. We were in a tree stand, Bob, and I can't tell you where. But before the evening was over, six does came out,
yeah,
and began to peck away at the grass underneath the ice in the field.
Yeah,
and of course we don't have doe permits, so we're waiting for you know what.
Yeah,
right, Norm.
Exactly.
That big buck to come out there, right?
Should be there after them.
And we waited, and pretty soon the sun set.
And about froze to death.
Cold. You talk about cold. My goodness, it was cold.
I was telling you earlier, we've set records the last few days.
Have we?
All over New England. Not only Maine, but New England.
Have we really?
Yeah, it must be global warming, I would say, probably.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever been any colder. I spent the entire day, and when it's so noisy in the woods, you have no choice. If you're going to hunt, you have to sit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I sat for, 3 hours in the morning, and my son did some walking around through the fir thickets hoping to drive something out. That didn't happen. But I have a great new rig. Have you ever seen, you know, the mitten things the quarterbacks use to keep their hands warm?
Yep.
What do you call those?
I don't know what they
mittens.
Call them. But.
It's like you put muff. Your hands in there, right?
Yeah, warming muffs.
Yeah. A warming muff, yeah. I have one of those.
Oh, you do?
And, you
put it around your waist and then put
your hands you put your
in
hands
there.
In there and you put your heater units in there. Mm-hmm. And wow, you really... It's the only part of your body that stays warm in conditions like this. But that
you've got to keep your trigger finger warm.
You betcha.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to these does. The does came out, and we watched them for probably 40 minutes, watched them feeding. And then just as it got almost the end of legal hunting light, we saw some movement in the just along the edge of the wooded area up against the field. And I think there was a buck in there. I'm not sure.
He was a smart buck, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he never showed himself.
No.
Very smart. But one thing happened that was kind of interesting. As you know, Jerry Levine claims that the peak of the rut is about November 15th.
Right.
So I guess we're still at it, right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, this is a family show, so I guess young kids today are pretty well educated in the birds and the bees anyway, right? I mean, they get educated in school now, so I can talk about this. Anyway, a doe, Bob, a doe went over to what apparently was a scrape against the wood line.
Yeah.
She went over there, and she first thing she did, she tipped her nose up in the air, and she kept rubbing her nose against what I think they call the buck licking branch, right?
Yeah.
Licking branch. Transferring her scent to that branch for the buck.
Yeah.
And then she squatted and peed on the scrape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's a pretty good signal that things are starting to happen, right?
Yeah.
I would think so.
I think love is in the air.
Yeah.
For the Maine whitetail. And as a matter of fact, and this is not just a story, as a matter of fact, Bob, an acquaintance of mine who is a family friend who is a very skilled deer hunter, I hate him, hate this guy, he's always killing deer. Anyway, he radioed us by iPhone and told us that he had witnessed for the first time in his life from his tree stand on Saturday, he witnessed a buck servicing a doe.
Wow, that's
right below his tree stand.
Well, it's been, you know, they get, once it gets cold like this, that really spurs them.
I think so.
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're a deer hunter, this is the time to be out there, cold or no cold, because the rut is at its peak.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been a witness to it, so
that's right.
That's exciting. So we'll see what happens Monday.
Yep.
Heading for deer camp. So anyway.
That's right. You're going up to Skulkers, aren't you?
Skulkers of Savoys will convene this week
yep.
at our remote hunt camp, and we can't tell you where it's located.
No.
And we'll be there for a whole week, and it's always a great time. And
I bet it is.
We hope
old friends.
Yes, some of the guys don't hunt. Some of them still do. I'm one of those that still gets out in the woods.
Yeah.
But we have fun. You'll play cards and eat well.
Play cribbage?
Play cribbage. We have a cribbage tournament.
Oh, do you?
Oh, big one.
Do you have
a
prize for the
Yes, we have. We do the same thing like the Woolly Buggers.
The Woolly Buggers, yeah.
We put money in the pot.
Yeah.
And it used to be poker. Now it's strictly cribbage.
Yeah.
We play cribbage all week, and we have a playoff, and at the end of the week, somebody wins $100. Pretty exciting.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, deer season's in full swing. Best of luck to you. If you have a deer story, if you were victorious, and you want to tell us about your deer hunt, we welcome your call tonight. We have plenty of time on the show for you, and you won't be rushed. And what's the number again, Bob, if somebody wants
1-800-966-1039.
All right, and that's a statewide toll-free number. Also want to remind you again, as the Maine Fish and Wildlife Department put out in a press release the other day, deer hunting or hunting period in Maine is about one of the most safe outdoor sports that you can pursue. Believe it or not, that's exactly the case, and they want to keep it that way. So here are some tips for safe hunting. Treat every firearm as if it were loaded. We all know that, don't we, Norm?
Yep. Yes, we do.
And always keep the muzzle pointed in the safe direction. I think probably that's probably the top one. If you know where the muzzle's pointed, you're never going to get in any trouble.
I'll throw one in there for you. Never lean the rifle up against a tree or the fender of a car.
That's right.
Ever.
And it used to be illegal. I don't know if it is now or not.
I don't know.
It should be.
I did that once. I leaned my 270 up against the front tire of my truck.
Yeah.
And did some other things on the tailgate, went back, got in the truck, and drove away.
Ooh. Oh,
and I got down, I got about 10 yards down the road, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, oh, my goodness, I hope I didn't run over the scope. Mm. So I went back, and there was my 270, not a scratch.
Lucky.
Very lucky, yeah.
We used to do that with fishing rods, you know, how you come and put it.
Yeah, right.
Put it on top of your car, you know, or your truck or something, and then take it off. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you ever have anybody? We were fishing in Canada one time, and they were in the company Buick, and it was raining, and I had my fly rod out the window, one of those electric windows.
Yeah,
you know what happened, right?
Somebody hit the button.
The driver started to rain, so the driver started to hit the button, and I screamed, "Don't hit the button!" And it was too late. Snapped that sage rod tip right off.
Oh.
So you got to be careful of those electric windows when you're carrying your firearm.
Oh, yeah.
So no show, right?
No show.
Don't know what happened. Well, we apologize to you, the listener. I know we touted it last week. We had plans to have Bob Mallard here. And the last I heard, he was going to be here. And I have his book, but no Bob. So we'll have to deal with him some other time. And we look forward to that. He's got a wonderful
I'm sure he tried. He must have got lost somewhere or something. Something happened somewhere.
He may have.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else do we have? Now, do you have a you don't have a fishing report, right?
Well, I could, but it's really not. It's too cold. Frozen lines and everything, you know.
Yeah, you would not want to be.
You can start tying flies anytime. That's good.
Yeah, or you could go ice fishing.
Yeah, well, I know a guy, Bobby Martin. I don't know if you might know Bobby Martin. He's a local beaver trapper, and he's already caught 6 beaver. It's amazing, isn't it? Already ice.
Yeah.
And it must be small ponds.
Well, these beaver flodges freeze right up, you know, quick.
Yeah, the smaller ones,
He was able to get out there and get he's after what they call these local towns want to get rid of these beavers because they're blocking up, you know, the roads and stuff. And
the nuisance beavers, yeah.
Yeah, nuisance beavers, what they are, and that's what he's got so far. And he's probably got a few more to get. He told me this just a day or two ago, but it gives him something to do, you know.
Sure. Anyway, so I guess we won't have a fishing report. However, there is some ice fishing legal right now, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Once there's ice formed, you can ice fish.
Yeah, down in Wayne, where my son lives, we drove by Lovejoy Pond, which is a small, you know, warm water pond, and it looked frozen to me. And I think Josh mentioned that he'd walked out on one of the ponds, and it seemed safe. But be careful.
They said, two inches of ice is legal to walk or safe to walk on?
Yeah, two inches.
I think I'd rather have a little more.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I guess you can ice fish, I think, in some bodies of water. But anyway, check the ice thickness before you head out because you just never know this early in the year. But it certainly is making ice, I would say for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, that wraps up Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. And again, we are going to give you an outdoor trivia question. And Bob Lehman has graciously agreed to part with one of his famous trout flies if you can answer the question. And Bob, do you have the question?
I do. What are at least two other names for brook trout? What are they?
All right. Two other names for brook trout. And you can call us at 1-800-966-1039, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're back with Maine Outdoors, and our guests tonight are Norm Plourd, Jim Layton, Bob Lehman, and yours truly.
That's right.
And you laugh, but we're professional broadcasters.
Yes.
And just because our guests didn't show doesn't mean that we can't carry off a program here.
That's correct.
Everybody in here are sportsmen. And before they're through, I'm going to interview Norm. I'm going to interview Jim. I'm going to interview Bob. Bob's going to interview me.
I am.
And you'll be surprised. We have some things to share with you. You may find this a fascinating program, I hope. Anyway,
you've been in this business a long time, Paul.
Many, many years.
Many moons.
we have a caller standing by who would like to win one of Bob Lehman's famous hand-tied trout flies. And are you there, caller? Welcome to Maine Outdoors.
No, I'm here.
And what's your name, sir?
No, I'm Jaden.
Say again?
Jaden.
Okay, how do you spell it, Jaden?
J-A-Y-D-E-N.
Okay, nice to have you with us, Jaden. Where are you calling from tonight?
Corinna.
Corinna, are you an active sportsman?
I am.
Yeah, you hunt and fish both?
Yeah, more fishing than hunting, but I get out every now and again.
Yeah. Well, what you don't know is we don't have a guest tonight, so we're trapping you. And we lured you in by giving you a fly, but before this is over, you're going to help fill this program tonight. You didn't know that, right?
I didn't.
Okay, well, you just relax. You'll love it. You'll have a good time. First, though, Jaden, you have to prove to us that you're a winner.
Okay.
All right. So we want you to tell us. Bob is waiting for you to tell him two other names for brook trout.
All right. One is square tail.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Speckled trout.
Speckled trout is another name. Yeah. There's also mud trout, char, Sylvania's fortunalis. You knew that, Paul.
Oh, that's the Latin. Yeah. Did you know, Jaden? Did you know the Latin pronunciation?
I didn't.
No. Well, you've learned that, right?
I did.
Okay. Say it for me, will you? Sylvania's fortunalis. Can you say that?
Salvalinas was
second hours. Yeah, pretty good.
Well,
you ought to get two flies.
You murdered that one, Jaden. But, but anyway, you're a winner.
Thank you.
And how's it feel to be a winner?
No, it feels pretty good.
All right. We all got to be winners once in a while. And congratulations to you. These trout flies, you think I'm exaggerating, but they really are. They are famous. Bob has been tying flies for years. He ties a beautiful fly.
Thank you.
He puts his heart and soul into it when he ties these. And if I got one from Bob Lehman, I'm not sure I'd use it. I think I'd just keep it as a collector's item. You can do what you want.
Thank you so much.
You would. I think that would be a wise thing to do. They're a collector item. What you want to do is we're going to hold you on the line here because I have a couple questions to put to you, but. We want you to stay on the line after I finish with you so Jim can get your address, all right?
Okay.
And Bob will mail you those flies next week, all right?
Awesome.
Okay, you ready for the questions?
Yep.
Okay. Did you know when you called that you're going to be interviewed as a guest on our show?
I did not.
No. Well, you're going to be. My question, Jaden, is this. Are you a deer hunter?
Yes.
Okay. How many times have you been out this year?
I was only out once this year so far.
Okay. What kind of a day did you have?
I didn't see anything. Just sat out in Exeter.
Okay. That's a good place. Good deer country. What type of hunting do you like to do? You like tree stand? You like to still hunt? What do you like to do?
Still and get up and take a walk every now and again.
Yeah. It gets a little dull if you sit there more than 3 hours, right?
Yeah, it gets a little cold, too.
Yeah. I sat out yesterday over in Wayne and just about froze my butt off. It was just unbelievable. I mean, you know, I had heaters in my hands, and it just no matter how many clothes you have on, it gets to the bone after a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Do you shoot a deer every other year, every 10 years, every 20 years? How do you do it?
It's probably about every 10 years.
About every 10 years, yeah. Well, I used to be an every other year guy. Now I'm an every 2 to 3 year guy.
Yeah.
Do you think the deer are... How long have you been hunting, Jaden?
Mace is about 15, so probably about 20 years.
20 years. Do you think the deer are as plentiful as they used to be or less plentiful? What's your take on it?
I'd say it's probably more plentiful.
Yep.
Than what they were.
Okay. Do you have a doe permit?
No, I do not.
Yeah. Do you apply for one?
I didn't get to apply this year.
You didn't? Yeah. So you're looking for something with antlers, right?
Yeah, horns.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a little honey hole, or do you just hunt land that's accessible? How do you work it? Do you have somebody that allows you to hunt special land?
No, I hunt public land out there. And
yeah?
I head up north every now and again.
Yep. Where do you go up north?
Around Mayfield, out that way.
Mayfield. Now, I've lived in Maine all my life, and I don't know where Mayfield is. Norm Plord would know, because he's a kind of a dictionary.
I really don't.
You don't? Where is Mayfield, Jaden?
Out near, like, Bingham, out that way.
Oh, okay. Bingham. Oh, yeah. Okay. Never heard of it. Not interesting.
No.
Mayfield. Yeah. Is that nice country up there?
Yeah, there's a lot of good little trout ponds and spike ponds and stuff like that up there.
Yeah, yeah. And so what kind of fish do you like to fish for?
Togue.
Togue. You're a togue man.
Yeah, togue and salmon.
You do the lead line thing and the big spoons and all that, or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't Andy Griffith from Mayfield?
Might have been.
Well, that's Mayberry.
Mayberry,
yeah. Yeah. Boy, where does this come from with Bob?
And it was further south, too.
Yeah, it's quite a bit south, Bob. You really are trying to fill on the show. So, Jaden, you like togue fishing. What are a couple of your favorite togue lakes?
I'd say probably Kingsbury Pond. I fish Lake Waskay and Dexter a lot.
Yeah, that Wasakake, I've driven by that so many times, and I've heard pretty good reports on that, and I guess it's a pretty fine togue lake, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good togue, but it's just slow fishing.
Is it? Yeah.
Salmon, too, I believe.
Yeah, salmon there
salmon.
As well. Yeah.
Yep. Salmon, brook trout.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I used to be a togue man many, many years ago. I don't do much of it now, but I used to do a lot of it. My dad loved it, and we used to fish Branch Lake down Ellsworth, where I now live. And there used to be some whopping togue in there. I guess there are still some few big ones that come out of there every once in a while. But my wife's not that crazy about togue. She thinks they're a little greasy. Do you eat the togue?
No, I just catch them for the fun of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You never fry a togue, you know.
No, you don't.
Ever.
No.
But you know, if I did it again, if I caught an old larrup or togue, I think, Bob, I would have it smoked by Jerry Levine.
That would be excellent.
Yeah.
Or you could bake a togue. That's okay. But don't ever fry one. My God, we did once. Yeah. We couldn't get back into the camp for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm but not the, kidding.
Yeah. You know, the young togue, if you fillet a young togue, I've filleted them and put them on the grill, you know, skin side down. They're not bad.
No, it's a good eat fish if you cook it right.
Wrap
you know,
in, wrap them in tin foil with ice cubes.
Yeah,
that might be good.
Yeah. Anything else on your mind tonight, Jaden?
Sure. No, that's probably about it.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. You had enough of us, right?
No.
You never expected this. Well, look, quite the smile.
You've been a good sport. We appreciate you helping to fill in here tonight on the show. And if you stay on the line, Jim's going to get your address so he can, so Bob can mail you those great flies. All right.
Okay.
Hey, good luck to you there in the deer woods. And do you believe in using estrus juice there on the trees and calls and stuff like that, or do you just kind of lay low?
Every now and again, yeah.
Yeah. I try it all. And the grunts and the bleats and the whole business. Anyway, good luck to you there, Jaden, and stay on the line, okay?
Thanks, sir.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right, that was Jaden from Corinna.
Bob Jaden.
Who won one of Bob's trout fly. Which fly are you going to provide him?
Oh,
with?
I don't know. Maybe I'll send a nice streamer for him. He likes to fish lakes, he said.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I will. I'll pick out a good streamer and send him along.
Yeah, he likes
to tie it up right special.
Something for Wasakag Lake there.
Yeah, absolutely.
For salmon, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the answer. And what we've decided tonight to try to boost up the show and make it a little more exciting for you, we're going to have a second trivia question a little later in the program. And Bob is also going to provide one of his famous trout flies for you if you can answer our question. And we'll have that a little later in the show. Okay, one of the things that we could talk about here before I interview for Jim and we get Norm off the phone there. I saw the front page of the Bangor Daily the other day. I think it was Friday, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get the BDN?
I do.
You do. Anyway, there was a photo of a seven-year-old girl who bagged a 210-pound buck.
I saw that, yeah. You know, that's almost unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
That could happen. She said she was quite a, you know, a go-getter, you might say.
You know what we need to do?
Yes, we need we have something to do?
Well, yeah, I kind of left some controls in a different or in the wrong position, and we should actually be in the announcements.
We should?
Should be, yeah.
Oh, do you want to take a break now?
Yeah, I'll bring it up slowly because we're most of the way through.
Okay, we're going to go to a break. You stay with us.
Actually, it's gone idle, so we're probably in the clear.
Oh, we're in the clear.
Yeah, unfortunately. I apologize for that.
Okay. But. Well, power it up and take the flaps off and let's keep on going.
Well, while I've got you on the air, a gentleman called in and he said that there's a, I believe he said it was a game warden, Ted Hansen from Patton, that passed away this week.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I guess it was on Tuesday that he passed away, and he was saying that he didn't think that it had made the news yet.
No, I hadn't heard. What was his name again?
Ted Hansen is
the... Didn't know him. No. Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
And also, apparently, he's familiar with your writing for the... Was it the Ellsworth American?
Yes, I have a column every week.
And he was saying, what do you think about it going downhill? I guess something about being limited to so many words or something like that, but...
I would never say anything ill about an employer.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I think they're a wonderful paper. In fact, the Ellsworth American, seriously, and I'm proud to be a part of it, it is one of the most decorated weekly newspaper in America.
It's a beautiful paper.
That's impressive.
Nice paper.
And being an old-time journalist who laments the the diminution of journalism in America, it's good to see the Ellsworth American is still a proud, well-crafted newspaper. They do a marvelous job.
They do.
And I don't say that just because I write for them. I really believe that.
No, I don't got that one bit.
And Russell Wiggins brought that to the fore, and Alan Baker continued the tradition, and they've been bought out by Mr. Brower, who's a mega newspaper owner in the state. And so far, I think they're...
Yeah, I think that's what he was hinting at.
Yeah, still on track. I mean, I don't know. I suppose it could change.
Give it time.
But from what I've seen, I think they're doing a great job.
I wrote a column for a Down East column for many years for the Ellsworth American.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
Yeah. So I'm following in your footsteps.
You certainly are. That's right.
Well, big shoes to fill, but I'm doing the best I can there.
Well, you know it.
Having
absolutely
a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we lost the commercial break at 7:30, so we won't have that to kick around anymore. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to ask you, Bob, is this: this is a little touchy, and I may chalk on a chalkboard. But one of the things that struck me was that a few years ago, you couldn't legally hunt unless you were 11 or 12 years old or older. And a couple of years ago, the state legislature and the IF&W department passed a law that said that you can hunt at any age.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they would leave that judgment up to the parent. So conceivably, a four-year-old child could conceivably shoot, and I was talking about this with my son, and both of us have concerns that, a youngster that young, sometimes you wonder if they've developed enough emotionally to understand what hunting's really about, what the heritage is about, and that there's more to hunting than sitting in a blind and pulling a trigger. And I think a lot of these outdoor shows tend to give people who don't know a misleading look at what hunting's about.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's just sitting in a tree stand or blind and killing an animal, and there's so much more to it than that.
Oh, absolutely. It used to be, 15 or 16, was it, that before you could go hunting?
Yeah, alone.
Buy a license.
Yeah.
Now, a youngster doesn't have to buy a license until they're how old? 16? Or is it 18?
Well, there's a junior license and so forth, but
I guess so.
They have to be with an adult up until the age of 16, I believe.
That's what it is, yeah.
Jim, do you have a point?
Yeah, I was going to say, I started my son out when he was 2 years old. Oof. I put him in my knapsack in the back, on my back, and yeah. He had a little pop gun with a cork in the end of the string. And we would skulk our way through the fields and through the woods. And he just loved doing that. You know, we actually did shoot deer doing that, too.
Well, you know, I did the same thing with my boy, Scotty. I took him, in fact, one day I took him out of school when he was a kindergarten, put him in a pack basket just like you did,
yep.
And went ice fishing on a pickerel pond. And he had a blast, and his mother was a little upset, but she said, well, I understand, you know, it's not going to hurt him to be out one day.
Yep.
But I think what I'm talking about is whether a seven-year-old child is mature enough, emotionally, is developed enough to understand what harvesting an animal is all about and so forth.
Back in our day, I think you're right, but today I don't think so.
No kidding.
Yep.
Yeah, so you have no problem. How about a five-year-old?
Nope.
How about if there's a listener out there that would like to call in and talk about
that? Yeah. Yeah, if somebody at home would like to weigh in on this.
Yeah.
I suspect a portion of it would be definitely depending on the parenting that took place. I know, like, I'm talking a little older now for kids, but even so, I mean, they got involved in 4-H. And I made it very clear to them that, you know, these are freezer animals, that they'll end up, we're going to end up putting them on a table. You know, we'll cook them, you know, we'll raise them and do the best we can, and told them that was the important part, is to make sure that you raise them well, feed them well, and that with the understanding that someday, you know, we would be eating those. And, you know, they handled that very well.
Did they really?
They did very, very well. In fact, it became a joke sitting around the table. You know, who are we eating today, pork chop? Or it got comical at times.
You know, I had my – back when I fancied myself as being a farmer,
mm-hmm.
We raised a beef – tried to raise a beef critter behind my place in Winterport. And the beef critter soon got a name.
Yep.
Her name was Honey.
Yeah.
And Susie, my daughter, became attached to Honey.
Yeah.
And when they find out that Honey is going to reach the end of the line and end up – in the plate, it sometimes there's a problem there, right?
Yeah, I mean, were they involved in actually caring for the animal, or was it just it was more of a pet for them?
No, I was the one that did all the shoveling the manure and
because with the kids starting off in 4-H, what was great is that they were learning animal husbandry
right from the
get-go,
oh, yeah.
And they had to do the chores. And so, about the time the animal was large enough to put in the freezer. A lot of times they were happy that they were at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, but we were really upfront with it. We just told them, you know, we're going to be eating these,
yeah.
You know. And, you know, we raise vegetables in the garden, we eat those, and we raise animals, and we put those in the freezer, too.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the way I was raised. And mm-hmm. I know my cousin Lorraine, way down there in Hartford, Maine, raised beef cattle with her children. And she still does to this day.
Well, it's a good way for the children to learn, you know, the cycle,
yep.
What life is about and so forth.
And they gave them names. It didn't seem to bother them to give them names.
Yeah. I don't know. I just maybe it's just I'm a weird sometimes. Maybe it's just me. But I raise the question. I'm not being critical of the girl or the grandfather. I just overall raise a general question of whether a seven-year-old or six-year-old is mature enough emotionally to really appreciate what this is all about.
I definitely wouldn't take the blanket approach and say they all are.
Yeah.
I would definitely say go by each individual because, again, I really believe there's a certain impact from the family they're growing up in, how they handle it. And so I wouldn't make it a blanket thing and just say, oh, yeah, the 5 and 7-year-olds can't, no problem. I mean, I think there would be some problems with some.
So you have no problem, neither one of you have problem with the law that allows you to hunt at any age, then?
Doesn't bother
me. I don't
me.
Have any problem with that.
Doesn't
as long
bother
as
me.
Your adults are around.
Yeah.
How would that 7-year-old feel about dressing out that deer and dragging it out of the woods, especially dressing a deer? That's something right there.
Well,
for a little
again,
child.
It's a challenging.
It might be a little rugged for him.
Wait, and I don't think you'd expect a 5 or 7-year-old to get involved with that. But I mean, take for instance, like Amy and Kevin, that have I think they have 4 kids. 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, they collectively shot 5 deer between the expanded zones and all that. And you know, the kids are right involved in dressing those animals and cutting them up.
I think they should be.
I think so too. And I sometimes wonder if excluding them is really, in my opinion, pampering them a bit too much. I mean, my father, when I started hunting, said, "You know, I'm going to show you once how to do this, and then you from there on will do this."
Yeah.
And so I knew right from the get go that was going to be my responsibility. Is, you know, he's going to show me once, and after that, if I shoot anything, I better be ready to dress it.
Yeah. You know, when we grew up, we didn't have the outside influences of these games that they're playing and all the violence you see on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
And because I can tell you right now, I was 7 years old when I shot my first rabbit, hunting all by myself with a Mossberg 22 with shorts.
Yeah.
And I shot my first rabbit, I cleaned it out, and I brought it home, and we ate it.
At 7 years old?
7 years old.
Yeah. And you turned out all right.
Well, I guess maybe.
Well,
the number to call if you'd like to talk about this subject is 1-800-966-1039. I'd love to have you call.
But things were a lot different back then.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I think it's a good question. And one of the things that I think about is that when you see all these TV, you know, outdoor shows, most of them, not all of them, but most of them convey hunting as simply sitting in a ground blind, getting the rifle ready, shooting a deer, giving the high fives.
Yep.
And what bothers me is the part of hunting that I always liked, that appealed to me, was not only the hunting, the sport itself, but it was also the woodcraft that goes with it.
Absolutely.
You know, learning to read a compass, learning to maneuver around a swamp.
Oh, yes.
That to me was all part of the part of the scene, right?
Would you like to take a caller?
Yeah, let's take a call. Good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors.
Hi, my name's JJ. I'm from Midcoast, Maine. How are you doing tonight?
What's your first name, JJ?
Yes.
And we're doing good, JJ. How about yourself?
Very well. Doing very well. I wanted to make a quick comment first.
Yeah, sure.
I checked out your website last week, and I really like it.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And, it looks nice. You know, has a good background, and so I just wanted to tell you that.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I didn't pay you to say that, right?
You're right. You did not pay me to say that.
Yeah, well, appreciate that, JJ. And it's going to get better and better, so tell your friends about it, would you?
Okay, I will.
All right.
And the other thing was, I was just wondering if you had any tips on tracking deer, just in general, because I've never done it and was just curious if you had any advice.
Oh, I could come up with some thoughts on that. Yeah, I'm not a champion tracker or anything, but I've done it. I've tracked a deer and taken a deer that way. Let's see, what could I suggest? Well, I do a lot of reading in the Northwood Sporting Journal. Hal Blood, who's recognized as being a trophy buck hunter, addresses those questions a lot in his columns. One of the things he does is it depends on whether you're trying to track a. What I do, I'm kind of a, instead of looking for a big trophy buck that I don't think that I can outsmart, I look for a younger one that I think might be a less of a formidable challenge for me. But once you find a track, then you have to determine, A, whether it's a buck or a doe. And, of course, the big heavy bucks are a giveaway because their dew claws, you know, stick down in the snow real deep, and that's a dead giveaway that it's a large buck. The other challenge, I think, is if you're tracking in snow, it depends on when the snow arrived. You got to figure out, is this a fresh track or is this an older track?
There you go. That's big.
And, you know, you look for obvious things like, is there snow in the track? You can feel the track. Is it frozen? Which direction is the deer lining out in? There's all kinds of things like that. But tracking a doe and tracking a deer, whether it's a doe or a buck, tracking a deer in snow is a lot of fun. And one of the things you have to do is you have to make sure you're looking ahead and not looking down at the track. And what works good is you have two people. One stays on the track and the other one stays off to the left or the right. Because what will happen when the deer senses that it's being followed, then it will begin to try to do evasive maneuvers, which could involve circling around behind you, going left, going right. And they always take you, when they finally figure out there's something on the track, then they take you through the most god-awful fir thickets you've ever seen. And I have, a couple of times I've said, to heck with it, I'm not going through that. And so it's the folks, it's the hunters who persevere, who aren't discouraged by the fact that they're getting further and further away from the truck and it's almost dark. It depends on the individual, but the people who really bring home the bacon, like Hal Blood, they stay on the track. And they don't sweat the fact that it's almost dark and they're far away from the truck and they're not sure where they are. They stay with it, and they're the ones that get the big deer.
Yeah, the deer will always try to stay downwind of you, always.
Exactly.
Even if it has to get down near a river,
yep,
a stream, or yep, even a gully.
Yep. Good point. Always. Any yep, other tips, Jim, for trackers?
Well, usually in the mornings, a deer will try to get up on top of a ridge because of the warm air is rising.
Right.
And he can scent you a lot quicker. Plus, he could see you a lot quicker up there.
Oh, yeah. They like the high ground, no
and
question.
If they go down into the swamp, they'll usually try to lay down between a couple blowdowns, and you'd walk right by them and never know they're there.
You bet.
And you will see their tracks. And I've tracked a deer at a time when all of a sudden the tracks stopped, and you look up in the tree to see where they went, and I've done the circle looking for more tracks, and the tracks just stopped right there.
I've had that happen too.
So,
yeah,
they are so smart.
They are too. Yeah. So does that help you, JJ?
Oh, it does. Yes. I'll try to put some of those tips into practice. And speaking of that last thing Jim said,
yeah,
one thing that might make your show a little bit more exciting is my sister wanted me to ask you if you've ever seen anything hunting that could be a Bigfoot. Or Yeti or something like that.
Only the guy I was hunting with.
I've seen some pretty big tracks,
feet, yeah,
but I don't think they were Sasquatch.
No.
Yeah, okay. Well, appreciate your call, JJ, yeah, and good luck to you on the track.
Okay, thank
and
you.
Remember
for taking my call. Great show.
You know the key, right? Stay on the track.
Yes.
All righy. Good
Take
luck to you.
Compass.
Never give up. Never give up.
Never give up. You bet. Take care.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. Yeah, bye-bye.
Yep, good night.
Okay, the calls are starting to come in. That's a good sign. That's a good thing. Probably this would be a good time to take a break and tell them about General Appliance and Brewer.
Well, it certainly is. And General Appliance used to be a Pickett's Appliance. They're real easy to find right there in Brewer on Center Street. And they've been a sponsor of our show here for over 22 years. The only sponsor that they have, Paul.
Yes, they are.
And they've been with us all those years.
Wait, they put an ad in the Northwood Sporting Journal as well.
Well, I saw that. Yeah, that's good.
That doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Well, I'm talking about the radio or TV ads.
Radio or TV, okay.
Yeah, and this company is owned and operated by Al Elkin, and they are located at 91 Center Street, as I said, and they offer a full range of appliances, both gas and electric. They would welcome being known as your all-around appliance dealer, offering the servicing, and that's big, servicing. You don't generally find that in big box stores.
That's right. They stand behind everything they sell.
Yeah, they certainly do. And, of course, the relatively new items that they've had now is the composting toilets.
Ride the wave.
Thank you, James.
Wave
I appreciate
of the future.
It. All righty.
Get right
thank
on
you,
top
sir.
Of that, baby.
You should stop in and see one of those. They're an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. You don't plug them in or anything. It's unbelievable. So stop in. Easy to find, as I said. Go across the old bridge. Take a right and a left. You're on Center Street. They got practically the whole block there on the right. So stop in. They have used appliances as well, and they have all kinds of parts as well, as you know, Paul.
Yes, sir. General Appliance and Brewer. And we patronize them and urge you to do so as well.
Yes.
Okay, again, our guests tonight on Maine Outdoors are you, Jim and Bob and Norm, and we've been talking quite a bit about hunting, but we can change gears if you so choose, and we'd like to have you call us if you're interested at 1-800-966-1039. I think we have a caller standing by. I saw the lights blink there. Okay, we don't. All right, this is time now for a second trivia question, and put on your thinking caps. Bob has agreed to supply another of his famous trout flies if you can answer this question. Here we go. The question is, what is a caudal fin on a fish? What is a caudal fin? And I'll spell it for you. It's C-A-U-D-A-L. Is that right, Bob?
Sounds correct to me, yeah.
All right. And if you know the answer to that question, you give us a call, and Bob will mail you one of his coveted, highly valued trout flies, hand-tied by Bob himself.
Caudal fin.
Caudal fin. We want to know a caudal fin.
That doesn't. It's not caudal fin. That's caudal fin.
Yeah,
sometimes they clip that fin once in a while.
Do
if they want it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good clipping fin. As long as they a couple of Beckerel fin is clipped, is another one they clip for find, you know, when they stalk a fish, they clip them on, know when they net them again.
Yep.
How you know, they give the year and the date and all this, and they can find out how old they are.
We have a caller.
Okay, good evening, caller. You're on Maine Outdoors. Go ahead, caller.
All right, well, so I think I have the answer to the question.
What's your first name?
Stephen.
Okay, Stephen, what do you think the answer is?
Well, it's basically just the tail of the fish, right?
The tail of the fish.
The tail of the fish is absolutely correct.
All right. Congratulations, Stephen. You have won one of Bob's famous flies.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. Feels good.
Where are you calling from, Stephen?
Right now I'm calling from LaGrange, Maine.
LaGrange, Maine. Did you know that fellow up there that shot that nice buck the other day?
That's good hunting country up there.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw him. I saw it in the back of the bed. I'm pretty sure it's the one.
Oh, yeah. That was a nice buck. Are you a hunter, yeah, Stephen? You hunt?
Actually, I just got my hunting license, so I'm pretty happy about it. I'm a aspiring outdoorsman, and I actually live in a log cabin up here, so it's pretty cool.
Oh, do you really? Wow.
Nice.
Good for you. I used to live in a log cabin out in West Hamden.
Yeah.
Yeah, log cabins are nice. So you mean you're new at the hunting game?
Yes, sir. I'm very new. I've been a fisherman my whole life.
Yeah.
Worked at a bait shop, but I'm new to hunting. I want to get into coyote hunting, actually.
Oh, that's exciting.
Jerry Levine guy.
Yeah. Do you know Jerry Levine lives up there at near Boyd Lake?
Jerry Levine.
You should.
Something I've heard about.
If you're interested in coyote hunting, you should get in touch with Jerry. I'm sure he'd be glad to give you some tips. He lives...
just beyond LaGrange.
Yeah, right there. Just you come through LaGrange and you're headed toward Milo, and if you know where the Boyd Lake Road is, he lives just before that on the right. You should look. Jerry's got a nice smokehouse there, too, as well. So if you ever want to have a fish smoked, he's the guy to do it.
Dunlater Farms.
Oh, I would also be interested maybe getting a nice buck and making some jerky out of that.
Oh, yeah. Jerry's a guy that can do that for you. He's really good at treating wild meat. Anyway, if you want to get in coyote hunting, Jerry's a guy to talk with, and we wish you the best of luck. Welcome to the hunting fraternity. Everybody here that I know has hunted one time or another, and it's been a special part of my life, I know, and I'm sure it will be yours, Stephen.
Oh, well, thank you very much, sir. It means a lot. And I'm also getting into fly fishing, too. I went to the Golden Road this summer, and I tried a little bit of Katahdin Ironworks, but I only got one salmon to nibble.
Well, that's a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You like fly fishing, huh?
Yeah, I used to be a bass fisherman my whole life, but I want to get into trout. I've only caught a couple trout in New Hampshire, so.
Oh, well, good for you. So he's grown as an angler. He's gone from those ugly rough bass, those rough fish, going to the trout. That's great.
Yeah.
Now, it's all fun, Stephen, but catching a trout on a fly rod is a special experience, and we know that you'll be hooked for forever.
He'd probably rather have a trout fly then, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Do you guys know any I'm sorry, I really just heard this show. I was pulling into my driveway, and I figured, I would love to call. I wish I knew your guys' names, but I really don't.
Okay, well, we'll tell you about it now. I'm glad you discovered our show, even if you stumbled across it. This show, Stephen, is called Maine Outdoors. It's been on the radio for over 25 years, I think. And we broadcast statewide, all over the state of Maine, on the Voice of Maine News Talk Network. So we're running out of time to explain it all to you. But join us every night, every Sunday night at 7. We're on the air, and we take calls from folks like you. And we try to have a guest every week. We try to make it interesting. So we hope you'll tune in every Sunday night.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for listening, and we hope you come back.
I will.
And good luck to you hunting.
Hang on to the line, and we'll get your information.
Yeah, stay on the line, and we'll get your mailing address, and Bob will send you your fly out tomorrow. Okay?
I certainly will.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Stephen. All right, that was the correct answer. The caudal fin is the same thing as the tail of a fish.
Absolutely, that's what they call it, caudal fin.
Caudal fin. Okay, that was a good trivia question.
I learned something.
Yeah, we all do always on the show. We've got about a minute left. I want to remind you again that we did have a guest who couldn't make it, and we'll schedule him for later on in the year. He's got a nice new book out called Square Tail, and he's a trout activist. He's been very active in helping protect Maine's trout fishery.
Beautiful book.
And we'll welcome Bob Mallard at a later time.
Yeah.
Our guest next week is a fellow I've never met, Bob, but he has a reputation for being an extremely accomplished hunter, mostly deer. He's hunted all over the United States and also Canada. His name is Mike DeShane, and he's been recognized as a fellow who really knows his stuff.
Do you live locally?
He lives somewhere in southern Maine, and he got in touch with me, and he showed me his pedigree, and he's got quite a accomplishments.
Wow, that'll be very interesting right now.
So we'll have him on board next week, and he's the guy that can answer Stephen's question about tracking. He's a guy who really knows his stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll welcome him next week right here on the show, and
look forward to that.
I think we have another caller, but we don't have time, right?
No, we don't. We just hung up with the last caller.
Okay. Well, thank you for being with us. The time went fast, and thanks to you, we got through the show, and we'll see you all next week right here on
Maine Outdoors.